Well, we've been off on a journey to take a look at the unfolding of the soul in this human experience, this earth place that we decided to come and play together in. And instead of going to the spiritual scriptures, we went to the folk scriptures and began exploring that marvelous tale, Sleeping Beauty, which brings us the symbolic images of this journey of the soul. So let me just bring together a little bit of what we talked about last week, that birth of the baby to the king and queen. Now, king and queen are God symbols because they rule the kingdom. The little baby is born, but she is cursed by the wicked fairy that she would, before the sunset of her 16th birthday, touch her finger to the needle of the spinning wheel and fall into the deep sleep from which she could only be awakened by true love's kiss. And so the king and queen send the child into the forest with the good fairies to take and raise her as a peasant girl, unaware that she is the princess, the daughter of the king. And of course, as a female, she is part of that feeling nature of ourselves. So it talks about how we lose that feeling connection with the divine as our soul begins its journey through the earth, as we perceive these things that are threatening to our well-being. And we lose that, and we're raised unaware of who we really are. And then there's that other part of the story. Remember the prince? The prince who's raised in the castle, who gets the message, I'm the child of the king, I'm the child of God. You know, the unity student. And so he gets that message, and he understands, okay, but there's a complete difference between understanding and feeling, knowing. And so for them both, that moment of connecting in the forest on the eve of her 16th birthday, the prince and princess meet not knowing who they each are. And there that experience of connection between them begins. Now, I got to share with you last week a friend, Jasmina, who wrote a book that really talks about her spiritual journey. And I got to share a few of her experiences that bear some similarity to what each of us in our soul journey goes through when we have that connection, when we have that experience of that thinking self, the prince, actually touching and feeling the deep love of the divine. And when that repressed feeling within us suddenly discovers that it is not limited, but it is the soul on an infinite journey, child of the Most High. And that takes us up to, well, now we have to go back to the castle, don't we? We have to go back and do that touching of the finger to the needle of the spinning wheel, the fulfillment of the curse. But let me share with you a little bit what this journey is really about. You see, after we've had that prince and princess connection within us, in our forest, and we have opened our understanding, and we have opened our feelings into that divine love, we've really, in those moments, experienced that presence of God, that presence of the divine. Now, Jasmina, as she reflects on her own spiritual journey, shares this. She says, over the years, I have learned that it is one thing to be given the grace to experience the presence of God, and another thing to become love. To become love. To become the full expression of that divine presence. That's the second part of the journey. So the princess is taken to the castle. And she's drawn by the enchantment into that place of the spinning wheel, and she touches her finger and experiences pain and falls into the deep sleep. It's a part of that picture how on our journey of life, every one of us will experience pain. And you have. We've each touched it in our own way, according to our own soul's journey. But we have known physical pain and violation and emotional pain. We have known loss. We have been afraid by lack, hurt by rejection. Every one of us has touched the needle on that spinning wheel. And when that sleep comes on us, remember it's a sleep on for the princes. It's the princes that falls asleep. And what that means is that that part of us that feels becomes suppressed. Okay, it goes asleep. We're no longer able to feel that sense of our connection with the divine. We aren't able to just be filled with that love because that pain has numbed us to that greater presence and goodness. And now it's time for your prince to get to work. Okay, but of course what happens in the story is right away the prince is chained. He's captured by the evil fairy. And yet, there's a change that takes place. Okay, now we've all found ourselves bound by how we looked at the world. Bound by, oh, it's too much. I can't do it. I don't have the resources. I'm not smart enough. I'm not whatever we chose to be afraid of, to bind ourselves with. But the good fairies are there. And remember, the fairies are similar to an angel. They're an angelic type symbol. In other words, they can touch that which is the higher consciousness and bring it down into our experience in the earthly experience. So the fairies in being there are really that call to the prince to look and place his attention on that goodness, on that higher consciousness. And as he does so, he's freed from the chains, because the chains are our self-perception that give our power away. But when we move that attention to that divine, we fill that with our thoughts, the chains fall away, and there are two weapons that come forth for the prince. Now, the first is the sword of truth. Okay, remember Jesus teaching, the truth shall set you free? Okay, well, that truth is not knowledge, but the experience. Okay, truth isn't something that we learn. We learn beliefs and facts and ideas. Truth is something that we experience. It's the experience of the presence. Okay, and we experience that through the feelings of love. Okay, and the short sword of, or the shield of virtue that the prince picks up. The virtue that which protects us is our ability to make the choice to take a hold of that which protects us and lets us engage at a different level, okay? So it's that capacity for choice within us where we can choose to focus on a greater goodness. That's what makes the change for us. So these two beautiful instruments that now your prince heads off into your field of thorns, okay? All those things that we're afraid of. Okay, all those beliefs that we have, that there's something that can keep us from our good. And what he has to do is take that sword, and we constantly have to go to the choice to see that goodness and that choice to cut through that which is not true. We have to choose the goodness. Now, what you know, because you go to Unity, is that that goodness is always there. God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
Even when you're in the middle of the thorns, God is good. That goodness is there. What's the difference? Perception. What is my attention on? Is it my thorns, my negative thoughts, my fears? Oh my goodness, I can't do that because... Have you ever noticed how brilliant your mind is at explaining to you why you can't do something? What might happen? What if? And how little it's concerned with real possibility or reality. Now, it's that choice, making the choice and going to that which is true within us and touching that, that true, beautiful potential of the soul is what takes our prince through that field of thorns and lets us beat the dragon. Now, I love dragons. What a marvelous symbol. I think of dragons as one of the great old God thoughts. Anybody remember that fear God thing? Okay, that's just dragon time in the evolution of humankind when we were afraid of everything. Okay, look where all the power is. What's the power going to do? It's going to take all your gold away and hoard it so you can't have it. Okay, because you're no good. You aren't entitled to anything. What's it going to do? It's going to come eat our maidens. Those things that are pure and beautiful within us, we don't get to have. You have to be a cynic. That's your dragon. And it is only fear. But there comes a time when we have to face our fear. So let me share with you what happened for Jasmina in her story as she had to face her fear. Now, I had shared that she went through the experience of major brain surgery. She had a huge tumor in her brain. And in that, if you'll remember, I went ahead and shared that she went through a near-death experience, and that was part of her experiencing the spiritual self. So she came back aware that she was a spiritual being, not just intellectually, but in her full awareness. But then coming out of that very traumatic experience, basically, she had to learn life all over. She could not speak. She could not walk. She had to have the room dark. She could not tolerate light. And she cried for hours every day. From that, she had to come back and reconstruct her life. And as she was doing that, one day at a time, one moment at a time, one choice at a time, she shares this experience. She says, I began noticing that my heart was playing an important role in my recovery. She explains that she was really so depleted in her left brain functions that her intuitive right brain began to expand its function for her. The result was, I literally could see inside my body, brain, and heart. An interesting experience, wouldn't it? I literally could see inside my body, brain, and heart. I noticed that when I felt gratitude for my life, for the birds singing outside my window, the sun shining upon my bed, I saw my heart light up. And the light flowing up into my brain, calming and helping me to focus better. So I had a very real experience. She'd make choices within herself. That choice to appreciate, enjoy. And she would see the heart light up and that energy flowing up to help her brain. My injured brain was so sensitive to stress that when I was frustrated, sad, or depressed because of my condition and the effects it was having on my family, it could bring on a seizure, cause mental confusion, and exacerbate my brain injury symptoms. Okay, so she became very aware of the heart and its role in healing and the choice that her emotions had upon what she was creating. She says, what I was experiencing was an initiation into the healing power of the spiritual heart. Okay. Now that's an initiation that we are all in the midst of. Because that journey is the second part of the story. This choice for the goodness, this choice to go to our hearts and choose appreciation. Now remember, this was a person that could barely function. It was probably easier for us to get there than somebody who's looking around and going, I can't even direct my own body. But that choice creates. It's that choice that puts together the journey through the thorns and into the tower. And what happens? We enter into a deep, powerful connection between that princess that you are and that prince that you are, between mind and heart. There's a beautiful description of what is called in the story true love's kiss. In Lessons in Truth, wonderful teacher Emily Cady describes the secret place of the Most High. Okay, secret place. So it's a secret. So where is it? It's in your heart. Secret place of the Most High, where each one of us may dwell and be safe from all harm or fear of evil. It is the point of mystical union between man and spirit, wherein we no longer believe but know that God in Christ abides always at the center of our being as our perfect health, deliverance, prosperity, power, ready to come forth into manifestation at any moment. We claim it. We know it. We know it. We feel our oneness with the Father, and we manifest that oneness. Mystical union. True love's kiss, where we embrace all that we are in wholeness. Now it talks about God in Christ abides always at the center of our being. Now in the Hindu, it's the Atman. The Buddha mind, the I am, in the different traditions. It is that perfect divine pattern and presence of God in each of us. And it is there, and it is through that acceptance and experience of the union with that spiritual self that we then move from having experienced the presence of God to being love. Poor Jasmina. I have found so much that I understand things better when I look at people's experiences. Well, for her, there were just a number of places where she had not been able to bring that love into her life. Okay. One was in the emotional trauma from her mother's mental illness and the self-perceptions it had given. Now, she'd had beautiful experiences, but what happened was as she recovered from the brain surgery, she had to make those perceptions that I read you about wherein we, as she goes to think of herself, she sees that wholeness, that goodness, that oneness, and chooses that goodness as her perception. And so she builds for herself a perception of wholeness, of vibrancy and vitality that is one with who she really is. In her world, her marriage was a physical marriage. There was great support in terms of physically and taking care of each other and home and their world, but there was not emotional and spiritual support. And there was that fear. If I step beyond this, will I be in lack? Is that love present to provide for me? Or is it not? And so she left the marriage and journeyed into experiencing, calling into manifestation that goodness for herself without reliance upon another. And living aware that she was enough for her own being. Now, the interesting thing happened from that. As she accomplished those things, she also happened to draw into her life a wonderful man of deep spiritual development and spiritual service and support. And they are now married and living in a completely different part of the country. What a wonderful blessing in her life. The brain tumor returned. So here is the accomplishment of wholeness at one level, and then suddenly we're back into disease. And not just disease, but disease that is very difficult to deal with. The first time she dealt with it through physical healing, through surgery, most appropriate and important. This time she dealt with it through spiritual healing. Okay, now I need to just take a time out here for a moment. Because I know sometimes I say thing and people put things on there that I don't intend. It is no more spiritual or less spiritual to get your healing through surgery than any other way. Or drugs. It's just one presence. And if that presence wants to play with you through a doctor, have a good time at the dance. Okay. But for her being to be able to experience her healing without the invasiveness and trauma to her body of the surgery was a very important step in her life to go through the spiritual healing and the medical confirmation that the tumor was no longer there. And so she stepped from an old life into a new one, one she had to build. One challenge after another, one choice, and in that choice, choosing the goodness. Choosing the goodness, knowing it was always there, and it's there all the time. And that's how we build the consciousness of love. It is by meeting the pain that we touch in our spinning wheel. Meeting the challenge that comes forth and choosing the goodness. And so the princess awakes and the kingdom wakes up. You feel like your kingdom's been waking up a little bit? Okay, looking around and going, wow, I can have this. It can be good. Yeah, it can be beautiful. It can be harmony. Now, notice when the kingdom awakes, there's no evil presence. When they went to sleep, there was this evil fairy. But as we chose that goodness, we learned the truth. There's only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life, the all-loving goodness of God. Join me. There's only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life, the all-loving goodness of God. That is reality. So let's play with it this week. Just keep practicing. Whatever comes up, just choose the goodness. Okay? Now, if you don't like that, you can give it up next week. But this week, let's work at it. Okay? Willing to do that?
Yes.
Okay, keep, because that's how we build it. That's how we get to the end of the story. But have you noticed when the celebration happens and we have this beautiful kingdom and we have the prince and princes in love, there's a question that I'm kind of left with. Well, if it's all good, why the pain and suffering? Fortunately, those storytellers that we had chose to answer that question. And so they brought out a new movie, Maleficent, to tell us about this evil that appears. So what is the reason for the pain and suffering? We'll do that next week. Bless you.